Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to Faith for Families. We are in the middle of a series called Ever After. Something that my kids asked me a long time ago and still ask from time to time. I was a school administrator for a while working with young people. You want to get somebody's attention, you talk about life after death. You know, a lot of talk about death today. You read about it, everything from suicide to, you know, there's a lot of bad stuff going on in the world. The Bible says that the devil is a thief. He's a liar and he's a murderer. Jesus said, I came to give you life and life more abundant. Well, that kind of simplifies it. God's good. He's trying to give us life. The devil's a thief. He's trying to kill us. Well, one of the things you have to understand, it's hard to understand in the world what's going on if you don't know the word of God, because God made the world. God made you and I. You know, you can choose to believe that and choose not to. But if you do, we got some great, great promises. God promises lots of things. One of the things God promises, he talks about long life. There's some 15 scriptures in the Bible. With long life will I satisfy him and show my salvation. Talks about God will lengthen our days. We live a certain way. People talk about, is there an appointed time to die? Well, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. The body we now have is damned. It's going back into the dust. And one day we're going to get a resurrected body. Romans 8:23 says we will get a new body one day. Be just like the one Jesus got when he came out of the grave, where Jesus was able to, he had flesh and bone. Thomas touched him. They handled him. He cooked lunch. He could still walk through a wall. He could still walk through a door, you know, without opening it. So that resurrected body is an incredible thing. We all get one day. Everybody's going to get a resurrected body. But what we're talking about, kids will ask, well, Dad, what do you know about heaven? You know, Grandma in heaven, Grandpa in heaven. I said, yes, babe, I knew them, and they had a great testimony of Jesus and that he was Lord. There are no perfect people. The Bible says the righteous fall seven times a day. They get back up. We're not known as the perfect people. We're known as the getting back up people. Christians are not perfect. That's why people, you know, they'll judge. I don't want to go to church full of hypocrites. No, it's full of humans. We have flesh. You know, Galatians 5 was written to believers. The sins of the flesh are these. And it listed what Christians are capable of doing, what's incredibly stupid things. And so what happens is you begin to talk about my kids loved to watch movies when they were young or read books. And they love the ones that ended and they lived happily ever after. Well, let me explain something to you. We're all eternal. Everybody lives forever. Physical body's going to die one day. The Bible says it's wearing out day by day. Every day we get older, get a little slower, not quite as quick. The physical body's perishing day by day, but the inner man is being renewed. We're growing in our spirit on the inside. And one day we leave this physical body, but we don't die. We live forever. If you're a believer and you're a Christian, immediately, the minute you leave your earth body, the minute you leave and your spirit departs, immediately, you're in the presence of God. You go to heaven immediately. It's not a journey. You don't take a bus. It's not riding a taxi. You immediately be in the presence of God. If you had loved ones go home in heaven, there's no time in heaven. There's no time there. It's eternity. It's not Sunday morning in heaven. It's not Tuesday night in heaven. It's not 10 o'clock, 8 o'clock. There's no day timer, no day planner, no clocks, no walls. There's no sun. God is there, and that's the glory of God. It's eternal. That's why they ask. You know, Moses said, who do I say sent me? He said, you tell my I am that I am sent you. I am that I am. It is that it is. It's eternity. And that's what really heaven is. It's an incredible place. The Bible does give us some glimpses as to what it looks like. So we're going to talk about heaven. You know, what it is. Is it real? What does it look like? How do you get there? If you get there, do you get to stay? We're going to talk about hell. You know, the Bible says quite a bit about hell. Jesus chose to say a lot about it. Wasn't trying to scare us. Just wanted to understand what. There are two diverging destinies for all humans. We either spend eternity with God or spend eternity in hell. And then people will say, and I get asked all the time, how can a loving God send people to hell? He doesn't. Matthew says that God made hell for one reason, for the devil and the fallen angels. The only reason it was created. Humans shouldn't have to go there. But if you don't go to heaven, that's where you go. God made us free will creatures. We get to choose. I set before you life, death, blessing, cursing. We get to choose where we're going to go. And so we realize something. You begin to go through the Word of God, which is what we're going to talk about today, because we're going to talk about, we've talked about sin. You know what's the biggest problem with all humanity? Sin. Sin has death attached to it. It will kill you physically, separate you from God, spend eternity somewhere besides with God. We talked about salvation. Why? Well, Jesus came to die for sinners, to bring us salvation, to save us from our sins. Because sin will kill you. And there's a list of all the bad things sin will do if you read through the Word of God. Learn about salvation. Today, we're going to learn about the Word of God. Because if you know the Word of God will teach you about life. Teach about what you should do, not do, about the promises that we have. It will encourage you. It will build up your faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And sin is a wonderful thing. That's why it says you should meditate in the Word day and night. Why? Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You know, we're going to study about hell. We're going to realize, you know, there's several words for hell. There's Sheol, which is the Old Testament word, and Hades, which is the New Testament word. But Sheol and Hades, or hell, translated hell many times, that's a temporary place. It is not a permanent place. Today, if you die as an unbeliever, you're going to go to Hades. You're going to hell. Now, that talks about death. You know, what is death? Well, it's when your body drops off. You know, your spirit, when your spirit and soul leave your body, that's called death. But death is an individual. Death is a person. It's an evil angel, a minister of Satan. Revelation talks about death came riding on a big horse, and Hades is riding close behind. And so if you die and you don't know Jesus and you don't go to be in the presence of God, then death is waiting on. That's why Jesus told him, some of you will not die. Doesn't mean you wouldn't physically die. I said death won't have any power over you. Why? Because you're mine. You're going to be in my presence immediately. But if you're not, then death comes to get you and escorts you into Hades, into hell, in that temporary place. Once you get there, Hades, that other spirit, will actually take you into your place, the prison that you'll go to. The Bible throughout, Ezekiel, Isaiah, talks about the kings of Babylon that went to hell, the Egyptian king that went to hell, and how in hell everybody knew each other. Now, you could remember your former life, like the rich man and Lazarus. You remembered your brothers and what you did, what you said. If you were a king on earth, you're a king in hell. They recognize one another. You come down to be weak as we are. They recognize, and even though they weren't living at the same time, they knew each other, had conversations, carried on stuff, understood their circumstances. The Bible is full of a lot of information that will really set your mind at peace so you don't have to worry about it. Because, you know, mostly fear comes from unknown things. I like knowing. God said, listen, I'll guide you into all truth. I'll show you things to come. I will order your steps, direct your path. I will talk to you when you go to sleep, when you wake up, and you walk during the day. You're my sheep. I'm your shepherd. You will hear my voice, the voice of a stranger. You will not follow. Every time an angel showed up, he said the same thing. Fear not, fear not. Fear not, fear not. God's not trying to put fear. That's the devil. And so we're going to talk about the Word of God today because that's what you need to know if you're going to know about ever after. Well, where will I spend ever after? Well, you better get in the Word of God and find out. Where will I spend eternity? Well, you go to the Word of God, you'll find out. Are my relatives in heaven? You go to the Word of God, you'll find out. You can know. God said you can know that you're saved. So let's go to this day. If you got a pencil and paper, you need to write these things down because the Bible is so important. People died to put the Word of God into print in case you don't know anything about church history. The devil did not want this in print. Because this is what set people free. God's word in our heart, coming out of our mouth, Ephesians 6:17, is the only offensive weapon we possess. It's called the sword of the Spirit. The word of God also produces a shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the devil. So he can't take us out early. We can live a long, full life. The word of God tells us if we'll submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, he will flee as in sheer terror. The Bible says the word of God is so important that when the word of God is sown into the hearts of men, the devil comes immediately to steal it. Because he doesn't want us to get in the Word of God. That's why we weren't told to read it. We're told to study it every day. Meditate in it day and night. Because as a man thinks his heart, so is he. So I need to be thinking on God's Word. Who, his ways, his ideas, his things, his promises. Man, Paul said this. If you read the Bible, it says, think on these things. Whatever's honest, lovely, just, praiseworthy, and virtuous. Think about these things. Don't think about those other things. Those other things are thoughts and imaginations from the devil. Cast them down out of your mind. Don't let a thought bounce around your brain like a ping pong ball on a concrete floor. Get that thing out of your mind. Why? It's trying to exalt itself against the Word of God. So one of the greatest things you'll ever do as a Christian is read your Bible every day. You've got to get you a daily walk Bible. Listen, you don't have to be a theologian, but you ought to be in the Word of God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I can't keep what I don't know. I want to please God. That's why it says in Philippians 2:13, God said, I'll give you the desire and the power to do what pleases me. It is possible to live this life. Through Jesus Christ, it is possible. So listen to this. If you got pencil and paper now, and write these down about the Word of God. So important about if you know where you're going to live forever. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All Scripture, the entire Bible, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us. Watch this. It corrects us and when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. God uses the word of God to equip us. That's why you need to know it. It says this. Jesus called the scriptures the word of God, John 10:35. And you know that the scripture cannot be altered. So, if those people who received God's message were called gods, why do you call it blasphemy when I say that I am the Son of God? What is he talking about? He said, the word of God make you a son of God, child of God. You're kidding. No, I belong to him. It's like gods, little g, we're like gods. Like God made us that through the word of God. We got to receive him. Jesus said this, that the scripture cannot be broken. John 10:35. You know that scripture cannot be altered. God said, let my word be true. Let every man be a liar. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I watch over my word to perform it. God said, not one dot will fall. Nothing. Now every T will be crossed. What I promise, I fulfill. I do not lie. I cannot lie. I'm God. He goes and says this. David tells us two things about God's word. Psalms 119:89. Your eternal word, O Lord, stands firm in heaven. And then Psalms 119:160. It's true from the beginning and it endures forever. The very essence of your word is truth and all your just regulations will stand forever. Two things. It's from God and it stands. It will never alter. It will never change. God's not going to change his mind. You know, if God promised me something 2,000 years ago, it's still the same today. If Jesus tarries 1,000 years, the word of God will not change. Time may change. The methods may change, but the message will never change. It's true. It's the word of God. It stands firm. I like this. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is inspired by God and useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong. By holy men of God, this is 1 Peter, by holy men of God who were moved by the Holy Ghost, says they wrote this. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke of God. People say, where did the Bible come from? A lot of different people, 66 books. People lived in different times, yet it all goes together. And that's what's incredible about the word of God. That's why you need to study apologetics, you know, where we got the word, the transcripts that it came from. You know, we study stuff in English and history about Romans and the Odyssey and there's different things where there's not even enough manuscripts to prove it was really written. Man, the New Testament, man, there are thousands of manuscripts. What is a manuscript? Well, there were no Kinkos back then. When the Word of God was written, somebody wrote it down. And somebody else wrote it down, and somebody else wrote it down. That's why the Dead Sea Scrolls were so famous. Here we find the Dead Sea Scrolls thousands of years after they were written out of Isaiah, and it's still word for word. God inspired men by the Holy Ghost to write that down and to keep it true, preserve it for us. God watches over the hearts of men. It's incredible. Look at this. A person must receive the incorruptible seed into their heart in order to be born again. 1 Peter 1:23. For you have been born again, but not. Watch this. The fire that will quickly end. This is a life. This is a life that's going to last. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living word of God. That's why I tell my kids, if you're not in the Bible, your brain will leak out and you'll start acting stupid again. That's why you need to renew your mind every day with the word of God or you will go back. We call it backsliding. What is that? Well, ignorance crept in. The devil's been lying to you. You believed what you heard the most of. That's why you need to be in the word of God. Four things the scriptures are profitable that are for a Christian. Number one, they're profitable for doctrine, the truth. This is what God is. Reproof, to correct me. Oop, I'm not doing that. I need to change. I need to repent. Correction, I'm about to alter something. What I've done, I'm going to have to get consistent doing something else. And instruction in righteousness. There are 3,000 promises for a righteous man or woman. I want them to happen to me, every one of them. I don't want to miss them. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scriptures inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong. The final result of a Christian who studies and obeys God's word is that he is perfected and equipped for good works. 2 Timothy 3:17, God uses the word of God to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. You know, I tell people, you get more than two people together, you need a policy manual. You even need it for a home. You know, I've got 6 kids. Man, we need to have rules in our house. That's why Ephesians 6 is, listen, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, that it might be well with you, and you might live long on the earth. Verse 4 says parents. It says fathers in King James, but the word means mom and or dad. Parents, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And the word nurture in Greek means to have some rules, regulations, rewards, and punishment. You get more than two people in a room, you need a manual. Okay, lights on, lights off, thermostat up, thermostat down, toilet paper over, toilet paper under. You know, cold, hot, when it's open, when it's shut, door closed, door open. What are we doing? Somebody has to make a final decision. Well, God. God's made that. That's why the values will never change. The standards will never change. Times may change. God never changes. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word never changes. It still works. It's still true. It's incredible. That's why you can trust it. You can depend on it, because God's not going to, God's not adding pages of the Bible. Well, I thought this would work until the year 2009, then I'm going to have to change it because it just got kind of crazy. No, it still works. It will work forever. God's just real stable. Isaiah 33, verse 6 says, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. Where's that wisdom come from? The fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of knowledge. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, beginning of Proverbs 9:10, Proverbs 1:7. Where do you get wisdom and knowledge? Fear God. What will that bring you? Stability. Wisdom and knowledge. So if you read the word of God, you'll stay stable. God will talk to you through his word, tell you what to do, order your steps, guide you. It'll be incredible. Look at this. 1 Peter chapter 2, like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk, and that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. He said you ought to desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Why do you grow? Word of God. Without it, I can't grow. I'll be stuck. I'll stay the same. Well, I want to change. I don't want to be the same person I was last year. I don't want to be 16 again. I was a doofus at 16. I want to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you grow? Word of God is the only way to grow. There is no other way to grow. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But Jesus told them, now, listen, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. When the devil tempted Jesus in the wilderness, the devil had been looking for the Son of God for thousands of years because God had told him in the garden that one day he'd come in the flesh. Well, the devil couldn't find him. He thought Moses was God. That's why he killed all those babies up down the Nile River. That's why he killed babies by the thousands of Bethlehem, 2 years of age and under. Wasn't Herod just looking for anybody. It wasn't the natural. Listen, everything in the flesh is motivated by something in the spirit. The devil possessed Pharaoh to kill all those babies because he thought God has been born. The devil thought God's been born. I got to kill him before he grows up. He's going to take this away from him. So that's why they killed all those baby boys. That's why Herod killed all the baby boys of Bethlehem. It wasn't Herod. It was the devil possessing him. God's been born. That wise man said, God's been born. He's in Bethlehem. Let's kill all the boys. So maybe we can get a chance. We'll kill God and he can't grow up and take this back. But he couldn't find him. That's why Matthew 3 and Matthew 4, it says that when Jesus was water baptized, God stuck his hand out of heaven and said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. What does that mean? Who'd he say it for? The devil? Devil, you've been looking for him. Here he is. But the problem with the devil is the Bible says he's a liar. And the problem with the liar is they don't believe the truth. You ever have a liar in your family or work with a liar? What's the one trait about a liar? They don't ever believe the truth. Liars don't believe anything. So he looks up there and he watches Jesus for 40 days. Now, why did he watch him for 40 days? Well, because Lucifer saw the first day Jesus was out there, he wasn't eating. That means he's fasting. Well, there are only three basic fasts for an Old Testament believer. 3 days, 7 days, and 40 days. Devil noticed him. Day 8, he wasn't eating. Devil knows he's going for the big one. He's going for the 40-day fast. The Bible says the devil walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The devil's not attracted to strength. The devil's not going to attack me where I'm strong. He's not stupid. The devil's going to attack me where I'm weak. We teach in our military college, don't ever attack your enemy's strength. Attack your enemy's weakness. Well, the devil's smarter than humans. He tries to attack us where we're weak. Thank God the Bible says, where you're weak, there will I make you strong. Where does strength come from? The word of God. That's why Paul told him in Ephesus, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. How do I do that? Word of God. That's why the angel told Joshua, be strong, Joshua, and of a good courage. He said, meditate my word. He said, if you'll meditate my word day and night, say what I say, you'll be strong and of good courage. Strength comes from the word of God. The devil knows that's why he doesn't want us feeding on it. So anyhow, they're out there in the wilderness for three times. And so at the end of the 40th day, he knows the 41st day, he's going to start eating, get his strength back. So Lucifer begins to tempt him. Here's what he says. Are you the son of God? Well, now God said he was. Yep, the devil's a liar. He didn't believe in the truth. Are you the son of God? Because this was not Christ and he that created him. Christ created Lucifer, created everything we see. And so in eternity past, Lucifer had worked for Christ. All he sees here is a smelly piece of Jewish flesh. Stomach's hungry and his knees are knocking together. He's got no right guard. Probably use a shower. He says, you're the son of God? Are you the one I've been waiting? So if you're the son of God, said, you look hungry. Why don't you turn some of these rocks into bread? We'll sit down and eat lunch, talk over old times. And for the first time ever, in recorded Bible, for the first time in the entire Bible, first time ever a human is recorded speaking the word of God to the devil. And Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And it hurt the devil. It tangibly hurt him. Didn't hurt his feelings. The word of God hurts the devil. That's why he didn't want us getting into it. It's our offensive weapon. It's the sword of the spirit. It's our shield of faith. He can't stand it. He didn't want us getting in the word. Well, that hurt the devil. And the devil got mad and took him up to a high place because you've not eaten in a while. Your equilibrium's not too good. So Lucifer stuck him on the pinnacle of the temple up there and quoted back the word of God. It's the first time in the entire scripture that we ever read that the devil quoted scripture, because the devil cannot create anything. He only perverts truth. He knows that what Jesus spoke to him hurt him. It's got power in it. That word had power and it hurt him. And so he takes him up there and he throws it back at Jesus, says it twice. It's written. It's written. Did that hurt you? Does it hurt me? It's written. Throw yourself off. It's written. The angels, they'll catch you. They won't even let you stub your toe on a rock. And Jesus fired back at him and said, it's also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And it hurt the devil. I used to tell kids, I said, those aren't two horns on the devil's head. Those are knots Jesus put on his head in the wilderness with the word of God. Hurt him bad. Well, now the devil knows that's you. That hurt him. Man, that's you. That's you. And so he took him up to a high place and said, I know why you're here. You're here to get back all these people. Those that were born, those yet to be born. Say, what I'll do. You bow down and worship me, I'll give them to you. Well, now, number one, the devil's a liar. He wouldn't give anything to anybody. Number two, that's not the plan. Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan. And it's the third time quoted in his written. And the Bible says that the devil left for a season. For a season. Now, the devil never plays fair. He's a cheat, a murderer, a thief. He's not leaving because he's playing fair. He's leaving because he's hurting. The word of God's hit him three times like a two before up the side of his head. It hurt him, and so he left. And the angels came to minister to Jesus, the Bible says, to feed him. Now, I don't know what happened right there, but I've got an imagination. I like to think Jesus was talking to him. I like to think Jesus, as they were fixing him a meal, because he's not eating for 40 days, said, did you boys see that? And I can just hear the angels, well, yes, Master, we were watching. We were waiting for you to call us. There were thousands of us. We were waiting for your command. And Jesus said, did you see that, boys? I whipped him. Well, yes, Master, you did. We saw that. You did whip him. And he left. And I can imagine Jesus said, no, you don't understand. I didn't whip him as God. I whipped him as a man with the word of God. And pretty soon there'll be thousands of us, and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Do you know how important the word of God is? You can't get saved without it. You don't know about heaven without it. You may end up hell without it. The word of God, salvation of our souls. So you ought to be reading the Bible, build up your faith. And Jude talked about the godly versus the ungodly. It said ungodly people grumble and complain, brag loudly about themselves, and flatter others to get what they can out of them. It's not what godly people do. Godly people do three things. Number one, they build up themselves on their most holy faith every day. A godly person knows something. I need the word of God. I'm going to read it every day. I'm not going to wait till hell lands to try to get some faith. I'm going to keep my faith built up. It says number two, that godly people pray in the Holy Ghost every day. What do you know? I need God to pray through me. There's times I don't know what to pray for, but God does, and I'm going to allow him to do that. Number three, godly people walk in love. Why? Faith works by love. Love never fails. I said, I want you to go serve somebody. Not because you feel like it, because it's right. You get that from the word of God. You get that from the word of God. Look at this in Job. Job's comments about God's words said this. Job 23:12. I have not departed from his commands, but have treasured his words more than daily food. Jeremiah 15:16. When I discovered your words, I devoured them. They are my joy and my heart's thought. I hear your name, O God, O Lord of heaven's armies. Psalms 119:9. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. Psalm 119:11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against God. 1 John 2:14. I have written you to know that you are God's children because you know the Father. I have written you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I have written you who are young in the faith because you are strong. God's word lives in your hearts and you have won your battle with the evil one. How did I win the battle with the devil? The word of God was in my heart. That's why you need to be in the word of God. You're not going to make it to heaven. You're not going to live in victory if you don't know the word of God. You're not going to be living in happily ever after if you don't get the word of God in you. It goes on and says, this is Matthew 4:4, but Jesus told them, no, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then verse 7, it says, Jesus said, the scriptures also say, you must not tempt the Lord your God. And verse 10, get out of here, Satan. Jesus told him, for the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. How did Jesus resist the devil? With the word of God. It wasn't his ability, it wasn't his intelligence, it wasn't his IQ. It was with the word of God that he resisted the devil. Then it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, put on salvation as your helmet. Take the sword of your spirit, which is the word of God. God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp. It guides my feet. It lights my path. Verse 130 of Psalm 119, the teaching of your word gives light. It helps the simple to understand. Then Proverbs 4, verse 20, it says, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. They bring life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. Psalms 107, verse 20, he sent out his word and healed them. Where's healing come from? The word of God. And delivered them from death. John 15, 3, you've already been purified and pruned by the message. I have you. It says, to make you holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of the word of God. People, let's get in the word of God. That's what you want to live happy ever after. You want to live happy now? We got to get in the word of God. Meditate in it. Read it every day. Get your daily walk Bible. Let's start growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.